You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off the show, as we always do, with a sense of market movements throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Director and Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at market movements and what we make of them. Gary, lovely to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. It seems as though markets are still going through a bit of choppiness and a bit of volatility. Last week, we did see some really good movements on the markets, and then Friday came and we saw such a massive sell-off. How did we start off this week?
I started off a lot more positively, and but as you say, volatility is still elevated. So we've obviously got a measure of volatility if we look at something like the VIX, so the volatility index. The price of volatility has dropped 10% today, but we're still trading at around 21 on the VIX, and that's pretty high. So I don't think we're quite out of the woods yet, but we are getting a little bit of a rebound. So if I look at the S&P 500 at the moment, up 1.3%, NASDAQ having a massive day up, well over 2% up at the moment. But a lot of that is just recovery from the nerves that I think we've seen creeping into offshore markets, specifically around, all this talk of an AI bubble. On the local market, offshore share index, reasonable performance, up about a third of 1%. That was driven higher by the resources. So we have got gold running a little bit at the moment. So that's obviously helping our gold miners, as well as our other precious metal miners. So we had the likes of Valterra up almost 5%. Sibanye-Stillwater also called 4.2% up. Harmony Implats, they really were leading the upside. Industrials felt a little bit of pressure because we had results out of Naspers today, obviously the Naspers process pair. That slipped slightly. So process was down almost 2%. Naspers faring a little bit better, only down around 0.5%, or just under 0.5% at least. But that dragged the industrial index down 0.6%. Financials also not a great day for financials, a little bit of a mixed bag, but the sub-index managed to finish about a quarter of 1% lower. The local currency against the US dollar is still a little bit weaker. So we're trading, call it 17.30 at the moment, which is off those kind of very strong levels around 17. And the story there has actually come from dollar strength. So for the first time in a long time, we've got the dollar index, which measures the US dollar against six of its major trading partners, above 100. So we're seeing a little bit of a rally in the US dollar, which is strange as well, since we've also seen an increased likelihood of a rate cut come the 10th of December. But I suppose we'll take it for what it is. And it is a strange week, though, Jimmy. I've got to be honest, because we had the Japanese markets closed. We're expecting, obviously, the Thanksgiving and Black Friday holidays in the US as well. So maybe some stranger moves over the next couple of days, just with slightly lighter volumes.
It certainly is a shorter week with that Thanksgiving and Black Friday closure from the US's perspective. Gary, what are markets weighing up at the moment? And perhaps what you're thinking about as asset managers, understanding that we're at the end of the year, we've spoken about the fact that we usually have that Santa rally, but markets are behaving differently. They've been behaving differently the entire year. What still has markets uncertain or spooked? You touched on an AI bubble, but I can imagine it's not limited to just that.
Yeah, it's difficult because I think we've had a massive year. It has been an incredibly interesting year, and it's something that we chatted around with clients at the opening of the year, saying that following those elections, the U.S. elections November last year, the U.S. markets were almost priced for perfection. Everyone was incredibly excited about the market-friendly Republicans coming in, all the deregulation that was going to come out of the Trump administration. We had the dollar index way up, and what has transpired is I suppose the old adage, if it's in the press, it's in the price, and what we saw was almost the reverse, and the US indices have actually underperformed just about all of the emerging market indices. So I mean, Europe is one of the best performers. I mean, South Africa has had an incredible year. The dollar has weakened significantly. I mean, we've had obviously the big run in the gold price. So I think coming to the end of the year, a lot of asset managers, specifically, domestic asset managers, are probably looking at this and saying, well, we've had a massive up year. It's been really good. Maybe take a little bit of profits. and I think, I kind of alluded to it. You touched on it as well. I mean, the concerns around the AI bubble, I think that is a real worry for stocks at the moment, or at least for market participants at the moment. And And when I say it's a worry, it's that's how the market is behaving. They're looking at some of the price gains that we've seen in you know, the typical AI stocks, the likes of Palantir, NVIDIA, Intel, AMD, you know, some of the hyperscalers as well. And they're looking at this and just saying, this doesn't seem like it should be possible. But obviously, looking at NVIDIA's results last week, you know, they're good. They're really, really good. And you know, as much as everyone's looking at these exaggerated PEs, the growth that is coming out of these stocks is unbelievable. And I think the concern at this stage is, I mean, there's no question in my mind anyway, that it's very different market mechanics from something like the dot-com crisis that we saw. It's a little bit different, but in the thing that people are worried about is just the scale of these data center builds and the amounts of money that are being spent, and whether or not that will eventually justify profitability. But for a company like NVIDIA that is actually selling chips, I mean, these are real numbers. so it's a difficult one. And yeah, I think at this stage, I mean, obviously we have an AI portfolio that we run for clients, and I was the seed investor in it. I'm still invested, and I look at this as long as it's a correct allocation in your portfolio. If you are holding the AI type theme, you know, there's something called the Gartner hype cycle, and I mean, anyone that wants to Google that should. You know, it's very difficult to tell when you're in that, you know, that this disruptive technology has come in and you're in that upswing. We kind of know at some point it's going to fall back, the same as Amazon would have fallen back from, you know, above $100 a share in the dot-com crisis, in the dot-com times, to I think it was about $6 a share. But over the long run, these companies do generate material value. So it's I suppose, trying to determine where we are in that cycle. And for now, I think, yeah, a lot of people are getting shaken out. But again, NASDAQ up 2.2% today. So, you know, everyone that was panicking last week is maybe starting to regret their decisions this week.
Gary, we'll come back to just how you approach markets and going into the new year. I want to get a sense of some of the movements that have been happening throughout the day. You touched on this earlier, Naspers giving us an update on performance and numbers from that perspective alongside Prosus. What stood out for you within those numbers?
Yeah, also very, very strong. Yeah, very strong numbers. And you look at the growth that these companies are achieving, and it is pretty spectacular. So, obviously, you know, Naspers, you know, announced at their Capital Markets Day in June that they plan to double e-commerce revenue and triple its EBITDA in the next 3 years, which was a pretty bold statement. But today, reaffirming that guidance, you know, saying e-commerce revenue is on track for, you know, it's between 7.3 and 7.5 billion US dollars, just enormous numbers. You know, we can see there's a strong growth trajectory here, you know, specifically OLX, you know, iFoods, UPay. So iFoods revenue up 35%. That's really the Latin American food delivery business. OLX in Europe also doing well, although that's up about 17% in revenue terms. I mean, that is actually OLX Brazil as well and a few other places. PayU, which is obviously in India, also 17% up, also looking pretty solid. So year on year, profit growth in e-commerce up 70%, unbelievably strong. You know, Naspers and Prosus often don't get, you know, kind of labeled as necessarily AI stock, an AI stock. Anyway, but I mean, also, you know, top of the results presentation, kind of just highlighting that, you know, to service this e-commerce business, they are now running 20,000 AI agents. To you know, throughout the group. So it's something that they are focusing on and want to become Europe's leading AI lab. But yeah, strong set of results. Yeah, I don't think, you know, I want to say that the market maybe was pricing it a little bit aggressively, but yeah, you know, to see why it was down 0.5%, I mean, that could just be a little bit of volatility coming out of Asia and Tencent this morning as well.
Gary, let's wrap things up with a look at the latest settlement announced by the Stefanuti business with Eskom. They settled for some 500 plus million rands after a 5-year legal battle. Your thoughts around that and perhaps what it does for their balance sheet now that that is out of the way?
It's dramatically going to improve their balance sheet. So $580 million is significant for SNEF stocks. I mean, you know, consider their market cap is $876 million as of close today. They've got about just over $1.2 billion in debt. So, you know, they have committed to pay 80% of this back to their Standard Bank facility. I think it's before February next year. Eskom should pay them the total amount before the 12th of December. So that cash will be, they'll be receiving that cash shortly. But yeah, it's not the $685 million expat that they were hoping for. But I think this is the nature of the construction sector. It's the nature of contracting. You know, Eskom had a delay damages claim, you know, claiming that they had already overpaid for work and there should have been penalties. I think, like I said, it really is the nature of you know, construction and contracting, where you know, many projects end in dispute. And Steph Stocks has a reputation for being, you know, a particularly tough negotiators. So while it's not quite, you know, it's just over $100 million lighter than they were expecting, or at least hoping for, I think it's a good settlement, and hopefully they can move on to better things. Overall, I mean, the market participants liked it. It's not a particularly liquid stock, but up 3.6% on the day, so we'll take it.
We take the wins where we can and try and make sense of the volatility where we can't. But what we will not do is anticipate what we think will happen in the markets, because that's not the best way to approach it. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thanks so much to the Director and Portfolio Manager at Rand Swith, Gary Boyson, for joining us to take a look at market movements, helping us make sense of what might be driving some market sentiment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.